Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
We're here to render judgment on the worlds of celebrity, pop culture, television, and fashion.
Strap yourselves in for some hardcore opinionating, darlings.
This is Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
With Tom and Lorenzo.
And this is the Pop Style Opinion Fest. Telekids, welcome back to another edition of the PSO. I am the team, your T-Lo Tom Fischel, and I'm here with the Lou in your T-Lo Lorenzo Marquez, my lovely husband.
Hello.
And we are back for another episode of the PSO where we just spew into our microphones all the stuff that happened this week.
We've got
a little bit of a potpourri going on. We're just going to bounce back and forth between a whole bunch of topics, correct?
It's been very busy. Topic-wise, I mean.
Actually, I mean, it's interesting because we're in that post-Oscars slump where there's not all that much great red carpet stuff going on. And, you know, I'm going to just work this into every podcast from now until the end of time, but we're working on a book. And it was really fortuitous for us because we're on deadline. The book is due, the manuscript is due in a month. And so we planned all along to that, oh, we're really going to step up the book writing in that last month because there's nothing to put up on the blog. But it's actually been a little bit busier than I thought it was going to be for this time of year. And there's just been all kinds of weird stuff going on that we feel compelled to talk about. We have two very big reviews up this morning on the site for, of course, last night's Drag Race episode and last night's premiere of Project Runway on Bravo after I don't even know how many years away, almost 10 years away, I think. You should really go and check those reviews, of course, but we're going to sort of supplement them with some discussion.
Yeah, we'll add a few more things.
Yeah. The reviews of Project Runway are... it'll be interesting to see how some of the show's fans, if they follow us, if they come back into the fold, how they're going to react to this. Because when we said we were coming back to doing written reviews of Project Runway instead of recapping them on the podcast, which is what we've been doing, I think a lot of people assume that we were just going to return to the old Project Runway ways, like, oh, do Nina caps and do this, you know, jokey, and I'm sorry to say that's probably not going to happen this time around.
Right.
Project Runway is a beautiful, wonderful part of our lives. I look back at it with nothing but tremendous fondness.
Right. I do want to talk about a few things.
But my point is
the
idea of going back to a blogging format from literally 10 years ago does not appeal to me as a writer, and nor does it appeal to me to try and recycle old jokes. I mean, the whole point, the whole reason we stopped blogging about Project Runway was partially because the show had devolved into it was just not inspirational or interesting in any way. But also, after, say, 10 straight years of written recaps, every joke that I could have made, that we could have made, has been made. If I tried to do a Nina cap now, Nina cap was when we would take screen caps of Nina's face, because Nina gives great face, and write all these bitchy lines underneath it. And I admit, I think they're some of the funniest stuff that we ever did on our site. And Nina herself told us that her husband used to read them out loud to her the next morning and laugh hilariously, which I thought was so funny. But I just can't return to that form. I milked it as much as I could milk it. And in a different sense, I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way, but Project Runway was a fan blog.
Right.
And that blog was shut down 10 years ago when we migrated. We launched a new blog called TomandLorenzo.com and worked very, very, very hard to transition ourselves away from being seen as fan bloggers and towards being seen as legitimate cultural critics. 13 years later, mission accomplished. We've done it. Oh my God, our cats are going crazy right now. It's their mid-morning crazy.
Right behind it.
Well, you know what it is? It's warm out and there are birds singing outside.
Yeah, they go
and
nuts.
That's when your cats go nuts. When they hear the birds, it's like, ah! Anyway.
I know, we talk about our cats all the time.
So it'll be interesting. I really liked writing the review this morning because it was a legitimate television review.
Right.
I reviewed the episode of television and then provided some fashion commentary, but it wasn't some big jokey fan blogging thing. I don't think the mics are picking up our little cat Daisy howling at the birds. If they are, I'm sorry. She's probably going to drive your cats nuts if you are listening to this on a speaker. But one of the things I said would be good to do during the podcast was devote more time to the fashion and let you, the fashion guys, speak more about what you think of each of the looks.
Right.
So we're going to do that.
Right.
Then we're going to also talk about Drag Race, even though we have a Drag Race review recap up. We don't tend to get into what happens on Untucked, and I didn't watch Untucked until very late last night. And then I was so annoyed that I was like, "Oh, we are talking about this on the podcast." So I'm gonna get a little bit into Miss Silky Nutmeg Ganache and how I kind of think she's an asshole now. And also, why don't we start off by dispensing with the big celebrity story of the week?
Just spend
5 minutes on the celebrity college scandal, wherein Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman were both arrested this week. That's the kind of news story that just ignites everybody, and social media just exploded.
Exploded. And it was funny because I was busy doing something else, and then I came back to the computer and I saw your tweet, and I was like, what happened now? I need to find out. And that's pretty much every day now with social media and the internet. You turn around to like do your laundry or something, and you come back, there's a new scandal.
Right.
It's just crazy, man. It's been
but
crazy.
But this really was a crazy one.
It was crazy, and it brought up a lot of things, not just related directly to them, but about education and
privilege
and all that, which, you know, rightfully so, you have to talk about these things because that's exactly what's happening. But there are some interesting pieces and things said about the whole thing, which I agree that, you know, no one should be that surprised about. You know, kind of privilege when it comes to education, because that's pretty much it.
And let's just say, if these two actresses weren't arrested, if it had just been like CEO's wives or CEOs, this would not have ignited the way it ignited.
Right. Because people were complaining that the two faces out there all the time is the two actresses. And I understand the complaint.
I do.
But at the same time, they're the famous ones, you know.
Yeah, this would not have blown up nearly as much.
Right.
If it had just been like some wealthy realtor and his wife or something.
And then they talk about their husbands. Why aren't we talking about their husbands? But I think legally, they go after whoever evidence they have, you know, like
that's my understanding.
I'm sure she's the one who wrote the check, so that's probably why they're going after her and not the husband.
I think they had the women on tape. They had Lori and
yes. There's a lot going on.
I'm sure the husbands were involved, but I don't. And I mean, they may get booked later. I don't know. They may get charged later. But my understanding is they have evidence of the women. They have evidence of these actresses being involved. It was weird when it was reported, however, that they mentioned Felicity Huffman, and then in reports they just mentioned her husband without naming him, and he is as famous or more famous an actor than she is, which did strike me as a little bit questionable that it was being reported that way.
The whole thing is just so interesting. And then I was watching a video with one of the daughters talking about,
I can't even get into the gross Lori Loughlin's daughter? The influencer.
And
when her mother was arrested, she was on the yacht of the board of trustees. And I'm just like, this is gross.
Oh, they claim that she
they both dropped out. Both of her daughters dropped out.
But her videos are oh my God. I can't even describe them.
See, this is why the press latched onto it so quickly. It wasn't just actresses. It was their easy to hate daughters.
Right.
Come on.
I know. I mean, the daughter, if you haven't watched the video, she goes on and on about how she didn't want to do
she wants to go to college for the parties.
For the parties.
And work on her influencer career. And she took that slot. She took that slot from someone else.
I know.
And that's the bottom line of all of this, is that they take slots from people who deserve them for all the complaining people in this country do about things like affirmative action.
Right.
That is not the issue. The issue is the wealthy gaming the system.
It's the money.
Over and over again.
Yes.
And it's not the poor gaming the system, because the system is stacked. Everybody knows this. So when you get into arguments about affirmative action, I think you're pretty much in denial about what the reality of America is.
And
poor people are not gaming the system and ruining the system. Rich people are.
Right. And another point made, which it's true, the fact that these people are already way too privileged. They don't need that extra push.
But that's the other thing.
They just don't.
Why do you want your why are you spending all this money to send your dumb daughters, and they do sound really dumb, to colleges when they don't even want to go to college?
Right.
When you read some of the stuff, like some of the evidence that they have, and they have like these taped conversations with the parents and everything. It's really awful how little regard these parents have for their children.
Right.
How little respect they have for their children, how little regard they have for them, and how this was so clearly not about what their kids wanted, but about making sure that they, as parents, were sanctified so they could say that they had children that went to this school or that school or the other school.
Right.
It was about the parents. It was about their own self-image. Their kids, if you're wealthy, your kid, you can set your kid up with some business and let them run, you know, go, let them do it. If they don't want to go to college, don't make them go to college. And sure as hell, don't spend $500,000 bribing people to get them into college.
I know. It was just an interesting story. And like I said, it brought up a lot of stuff that needed to be discussed again. And that's how it works now with the internet and social media. And yeah, it's upsetting in a way, but it's not surprising. And not at all.
And I mean, actually, one thing that it did sort of lay bare, but isn't being discussed as much as it should, I think, is how many people said, well, you know, why didn't the parents just buy a building or something like that? And how's that any less corrupt?
It's just more money.
They spent $500,000 to get their kids into these schools. To buy a building would be $15 million to get their kids into these schools. How's that any better? You're still allowing the rich to game the system and forcing the non-rich out of the system when you do stuff like that. We shouldn't normalize or accept the fact that wealthy people can buy buildings on campus and get their kids into school. We all know it happens. It's quite openly happens. But I really think this sort of discussion, this sort of event needs to open up a discussion as to why that's just as bad, if not worse.
Right.
We can scream and yell about millionaires and their sense of privilege. But the true problem in American society are billionaires. That's the problem. Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin, this is not the issue. They're the face of the issue. But really, it's the billionaires. It's the Howard Schultzes the Bill Gateses and the Jeff Bezoses. Those are the problems.
Have you read anything about the schools being punished, legally punished?
I have no idea. I don't really know.
Because they're just...
Well, I think the individual, like the coaches that were taking bribes and stuff.
Oh, I see, I think those
people are being charged. I don't think the schools themselves are being charged.
I was also reading that some of the students now are suing the schools because they feel that...
Students who didn't make it in.
They're just...
This is going to be a mess. And actually, every single kid of every parent in this, I guess, indictment or whatever... needs to be let go of their can't. They did not get in under.
Right.
They
I
should
agree.
Go.
I
you're.
Agree.
I'm sorry. You're gone. Yeah. Reapply.
Reapply.
But you're not coming back for classes until you do. That would be the correct thing for these schools to do.
True.
But we'll see. And
true
actually,
story.
In terms of punishment, none of these people are going to go to jail, of course, because they're wealthy. They're not going to go to jail.
No.
So the punishment should be that they have to. You know, fund some poor kids.
That's a
you
good
know,
idea,
college
actually.
Educate. Lori Loughlin, you got to put two or three poor kids through college now. Same thing with you, Felicity Huffman. That's your punishment. I don't know. What else do you have to say? Is there anything else? I just felt like we couldn't.
Yeah, we had to talk about it because it's everywhere. I know. I think that's pretty much it.
Asshole.
Yes.
What did you
say? Yes and yes.
All right. So... we've exhausted that. I thought we were going to say more about that, but I don't think I'm so grossed out about it. I don't think we really have to say
I know.
More about it.
It's just, yeah.
What I do have to say, I would love to talk a little bit about my brand new,
I know,
very comfy socks from Bombas. How often do you think about your socks? If you're like most people, probably not much, but we recently discovered socks that change the way we'll think about socks forever. They're called Bombas, B-O-M-B-A-S. Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. They're made from super soft natural cotton, and every pair comes with arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed that's comfy but not too thick. With many colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas look great at the gym, at the office, and out on the town. Let me tell you, about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, I was in the gym, and I swear to you, I do not go out in the world assessing what people are wearing, and I sure as heck do not go into a gym and assess what people are wearing. But there was this guy working out,
anyway,
and he had this really cool looking athletic socks on. And I'm not big into like dressing up for the gym or making it into a fashion parade, but I've said before, it's you also don't want to look in the mirror while you're working out and see some bum. Anyway, this guy had this cool pair of striped athletic socks on. I had never seen them with this style of stripe on them before. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And I'm not some weirdo that's going to go up to a guy at the gym and say, excuse me, can you tell me what socks you're wearing? But I was really wondering. I was like, I need to go out and buy these socks. And then we heard about Bombas, and I went on their site, and there they were. I was so excited. But it was so funny that it turned out that way. It was like the Lord was making sure that Bombas were going to land in my lap. And we tried the pairs, and
they're amazing.
First off, the designs are great. It's not all athletic socks. They also have dress socks for men in a range of colors, beautiful colors. These socks are comfortable. They're stylish. And yes, I do love the athletic socks because they provide little twists on the normal designs of athletic socks, the normal colors that you see in athletic socks, without going completely over the top. It still feels like athletic wear.
Right.
It'll still make you look like a serious athlete, not like someone who's just there to look good. And I don't know. I just really love these socks. I pretty much threw out all my old athletic socks to start wearing these because I love them. In fact, Bombas are what feet daydream about. And for every Bombas purchase you make, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. So buy your Bombas at bombas.com/TLO today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/TLO for 20% off. Bombas.com/TLO. Go and look at these socks. They're fun.
They're really stylish.
And they're
super. I love
the design.
I like the little big logo. Everything.
Yeah. Really cool socks without being. Because I know some people like nice socks, but they don't want really obnoxious attention focusing socks. And I don't think this is the case. They're stylish, but they're you know, understated enough that you don't feel like you're making a scene at the gym, or at least the wrong kind of scene. So that's Bombas. And we thank you, Bombas, for your support. Okay, so I've talked, and now I'm going to let you talk. How about we go to the fashion on Project Runway?
Yes.
And
First, I just want to say a few things.
Do you have it up on your page?
Because
we're going to scroll through.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know we were going to do that. But as I'm looking for the page, I just want to say in general, it was kind of an emotion for me to watch Project Runway again on Bravo, because you have to understand, that's how we started our site, our blog. We had this incredible, we still do, but we had this incredible relationship with Bravo, and we knew everybody, and they would contact all the time. It was just nice, because it was a nice beginning for us.
I shouldn't reveal this, but yesterday morning.
Yesterday
morning, we got two really sweet emails, one from Nina Garcia and the other one from Andy Cohen.
I was going to mention that.
Andy, we haven't spoken to. I mean, we used to see Andy at all the Bravo. He knew us on site. He used to come run up to us and say hello to us at these Bravo parties.
But he's like so big with his show now and everything, and busy. Everyone is busy.
Right. So we got a nice email from Andy and a nice email. I'm not going to tell you what they said because they didn't. It was, it was to us. But they were just happy to be back at that the show was back at Bravo, and very happy that we were committed to talking about it again in a way that we hadn't talked about it in the past. And they both acknowledged
the impact.
In so many words, they said the show would never have been what it is without us, which is no one ever from Project Runway involved in the show, except for Tim Gunn many years ago told us that.
But
nobody else ever said that to us. And we don't like to go around assuming that because it's a big show. Lots of people are responsible for its success. But yeah, I mean,
you have to
over
remember,
time, we were like, you know what? We did a lot to promote this show.
You have to remember our site was dedicated 100% to Project Runway. Like blogging Project Runway, let's not forget them. They did a lot, too.
We would post 3 times a day, 5 days a week, and every post was about Project Runway. It was a fan blog.
Yes, it was all about Project Runway. And you have to also remember that at the time, not everyone was doing recaps or talking about TV shows the way they do now.
Right.
Everybody.
Well, actually, people don't recap anymore.
But they talk about.
It rose and then it fell.
But they still talk about shows in general and episodes and things like that. And at the time, not everyone was doing that. So yeah, it was big for us. It was a great relationship with Bravo. So when I was watching the episode again last night and live tweeting, because we are live tweeting in case you're interested, and it was just nice. Listen to all the music in the background. It reminded me of season one.
Yeah, they had a lot of the same musical cues from the old days.
Yeah, season one. I mean, I still remember season one. And I actually tweeted that said season one, remember when they all got drunk? Because they had no idea how.
I think you're going to see scenes like that. There seems to be a focus on the apartment life more than and the camaraderie among the designers more than I've seen in recent. I mean, Lifetime, I can't even tell you.
I know.
I can't tell you how grossed out I was by the show in the last few seasons. I tried to get it, like, we did podcasts about it and everything, but they were half-assed, and I know that the fandom does not like when you get too far into criticizing the show, because then they really start getting nasty with you. Believe me, I know that from personal experience. So we really didn't get into how grossed out we were by how bad the show was. But last night, with this episode, you could tell that there was a focus on the camaraderie among the designers. Right. There were several scenes where they were supporting each other, sewing for each other. And then, you know, the scenes in the back when the winner was announced and everything, there was true joy. They were all hugging.
Right, right, right.
I'm not saying you never saw that stuff on the Lifetime years, but the Lifetime years, the focus was clearly on getting them to fight with each other, mm-hmm. getting personality conflicts drummed up. And it was way more focused on that. And this is more, again, this is why it feels more like fashion oriented now. That's what fashion is.
Right.
There's fighting in fashion, and there's egos in fashion. Of course there is.
A lot
of it. But no runway show is done by one person. It is done by a massive team of people. Fashion is collaborative and team-based. So when Lifetime made the show all about designers fighting with each other instead of designers working together and learning to... I mean, I can remember... Even I hated the guy, but Santino was a lot of fun in the workroom. He made all his fellow designers laugh. You know what I mean? I remember when, like, Jack McEnroth would carry Christian Siriano into the workroom in a tote bag and that sort of thing. That sort of joking camaraderie where you really felt like they were in it together. I remember when Laura Bennett she acted like a mother figure to Michael Knight. You know what I mean? And they really bonded together. The show lost all of that over time. It lost the focus on fashion. It lost the importance of fashion. It lost its New York identity, which is extremely important to the show. As we know, when the one time it moved out of the city, it was a disaster when they went to Los Angeles. And then in the last 4 or 5 years of the show, it's all studio-based work. There's nothing about it. It feels like it's in a studio. It never feels like they're anywhere in New York. Now, granted, they're still in a studio this season, but one thing I liked about the new designs was that, and this is, again, an interesting thing. We started our blog as fan bloggers, and we were very knowledgeable about fashion, but our time at, say, New York Fashion Week or our time in designer studios was fairly limited 13 years ago. Right. And in the years since, that's a world that's become very familiar to us. So I look at the design room now, the workroom now, and I'm like, well, yeah, that looks like a designer's atelier. That actually looks like the spaces mm-hmm. that designers work in. And then the runway, Nina tweeted at us last night, and she said, thank God we're not in a cave anymore. Fashion shows are not dark, dreary things. They are extremely bright, well-lit things like a rock concert. So, and that always annoyed us, that the set was dark and dreary looking. Where they walked last night, I was like, yeah, that looks like an actual runway show.
Everything looked like when the models are coming out, like the less touches, you know, like.
Oh, I love that they showed final touches.
I remember like getting all emotion seeing Carolina Herrera behind the scenes before the model walked on the runway, like fixing the dress and doing
fluffing
little things.
The skirt.
And I'm just like, oh my God, this is fashion.
Yeah,
this is
that's fashion.
So fashion. Yeah.
So we're just sort of adding to all the stuff that we said on the review.
like that they do make a difference. And I think that Bravo is making sure that they get all these things right, or at least they try.
Well, we said it last night. We said it in the review this morning. It literally feels like everything we've been complaining about mm-hmm. has been put on a list and checked off.
And not just us. We've been asking for a changed set,
a changed workroom, more of a fashion feel, more of a New York feel, all of that was handed to us. I love that they brought in Instagram and social media, because that is an essential part of the fashion world now. By the way, when the girl who went home, Kavanaugh, she was like, all of my pictures are taken with, you know, professional cameras.
Oh, my God.
Well, guess what? Real designers, they take iPhone pics in their atelier and they put it up on their Instagram. All of them do it. So to think that you're too good to use an iPhone for your fashion shows me that you don't really understand how real designers work.
She was terrible.
Christian Siriano constantly takes pictures on his phone and puts them on his social media.
Everybody, name the designer and go to their Instagram account.
If you think it's all about hiring professional photographers, then you don't understand what the current fashion scene is like.
Defensive and obnoxious because she knew she was going to go home. So
I felt bad for her. I mean, I know she was getting the villain edit, and you were saying some bitchy things about her, and I was like, she told the story about her father dying in the last year, and I'm like, yeah, I remember what that's like, and I'm actually surprised she can even be on a TV show right now. So I felt a little more sympathetic to her. Anyway, you are going to give us your thoughts. You're going to run through them all on our site and give us your thoughts on the outfits.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really consult this morning before I wrote this.
Well,
and go ahead.
I thought it was a great idea to, in the beginning of the episode, to let them show one piece that represented their style, their aesthetic, and, you know, make the best impression possible. And I was kind of disappointed. Some of them were just, like, very basic stuff, and I wouldn't... I can't imagine as a designer thinking that, okay, this is my best shot here, and this is what I'm showing. So it was kind of disappointing. I also have to say, in general, I thought the designs were very basic. So I do hope that with all that great stuff that's going on with the new project, anyway, that the creativity at some point kicks in, because for the first episode...
I wasn't super impressed.
No,
I was little bits and pieces here and there where I'm like, this one has potential.
Some interesting pieces, but in general, it was not. I was not impressed at all. They looked very basic in terms of design in general. So we can start with Afa, for example.
You start.
Yeah, Afa, just basic dress, strapless, off the shoulder dress with a belt. Again, relying too much on basic lines and accessories. You put a belt, and then you think you have a dress. That work as a stylist, but that doesn't work as a designer.
No.
Or if you're trying to show what you can do. And the thing is that because of time, I mean, they had two days, which is a lot of time in general for Project Runway, but maybe not enough to create something incredible. You have to remember, as a creative person, you don't just sit down and have 15 minutes to be amazingly creative. That doesn't happen. It's the same thing when an established designer creates a collection. He has an idea. He travels. He goes somewhere. Meets somebody or whatever, and then has this incredible idea for his new collection. But it's not like that. I have to have an idea right now. So I do understand going for the minimalistic looks in general. But the thing is that minimalistic looks, if they're not perfect, if they're not like flawless, then you lose it. Nobody's interested anymore. So I thought his dress was very basic. You know, the color block on the side, the high slit, but it's not nothing. It's absolutely a very basic dress that you can find anywhere. I hope I'm not mispronouncing the name. Bishme, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my God, what is this?
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
Long sleeve
top. You can't
see
it in the picture. He had an interesting sleeve design where it was open and buttoned.
Oh, right.
He had closures running down the sleeve. That's the only interesting part.
But the pants are terribly fitted, just terrible. The top is just very wonky and not fitted well, again, with this asymmetrical hem. Just, again, kind of basic, didn't like the colors. And we talked about this, that we felt that the fabrics were cheap in general.
Which I don't get because, well, the only thing I could think is they'd never been in mood before and they just don't know the layout as well as they will if they stick around.
I think you're overwhelmed. I mean, we've been to mood once and it is overwhelming. I mean, it's aisles, not aisles, but rooms and rooms and rooms of fabric. And if you only have 20 minutes to shop,
had over a half hour, I think, to
they
shop.
Did. But it is overwhelming nonetheless. Garo, I do think the top was kind of interesting. It's a striped top with some interesting lines. The pants are kind of like,
I hate the corset.
Weird. And the corset is just not necessary at all.
Yeah.
If he had just the pants and the striped top, would have been much better. But I do see design there. I do see creativity there. You know, that's what, when you, and this is the great thing about the guest judges, the judges in general, is that you have this variety of people now. You have a woman of color, you have a Latin woman, you know, and you have the white guy, and then you have, Carly, Klaus. So you have all these interesting background, you know, judging the fashion that you're presenting, which is good, which is great. I think it's you know, you have different opinions as opposed to the same opinion over and over again. Haster, too complicated. The dress is a little too, the design is a little too complicated. It feels like a little fashion student kind of design with the cutouts on the side and then the sort of like the neck.
Oh, Hester's the one who was a lot to take.
Yes, yes.
She's the girl with too much personality.
Too many elements.
I'm actually a little surprised how conventional that is compared to what she was wearing.
Right, right. So it is a little bit too complicated, too many elements, you know, and the bust line is just completely wrong.
Right.
It doesn't fit well, and it just, yeah, it's over-designed, as we said on the site. Jamal, interesting pants. I do like the pants combined with the sleeveless hoodie.
I feel like we've seen this exact look.
But we have seen this. I do think that adding the metallic part at the bottom of the pants.
But we've seen that recently, too.
Right. But it does add some edge to it, I guess. Anyway, COVID. COVID is freaking
sweetheart.
Hilarious and funny and sweet. I'm in love with him.
Yeah.
He's very, very sweet. When you look at this dress, I praised this dress on Twitter last night a lot, and I'll explain why. Because sometimes
it's praiseworthy.
Sometimes you look at something like that, you're like, oh, but that's just a simple dress. But the way you have to remember
the way it's pieced,
the way it's pieced, the way it's draped, the way it moves, and that's what you want when you wear a garment.
Yeah,
it's not so much about having some interesting design elements, which is great. But this is the kind of dress that that would make anyone so confident and so beautiful, you know, and you just walk and you're beautiful. I just think it's a great dress, and the model is fantastic. It's the first transgender model on the show.
On the show,
Mimi,
yes.
Right? Her name is Mimi?
Yes.
Just sweet, sweet, sweet Mimi. And I think it's great. The whole thing is great. I'm surprised wasn't, you know, they sent it, you know, as, you know, it was safe. I was surprised with that. Anyway, Nadine, I guess. I do not understand the combination of the
blouse is nice.
The jacket with the blouse and the shorts. I think it's too many things together.
Well, a lace ruffled blouse with basically what those look like activewear shorts. That looks like something you would work out in.
I can see.
And then the jacket's just ill-fitted.
Right. I can see that at, like, wearing this and you want to have some fun on, you know, going out with your friends to a bar or whatever. I can see that. But it's just, no, I'm not really feeling it. Sebastian. It's funny because Sebastian's looks kind of like the Garrow's look. The striped and the
yeah, but the crossed shapes are completely different.
I agree. But it's, I guess the fabric or the colors are reminding me of his design. Again, interesting design. You can see the way the pants are all laced up at the bottom. I do like that. I mean, sometimes you just want, you're looking for things interesting,
right.
Some interesting elements, and especially if it's your first challenge, if it's your first runway show, you want to present something that are like, okay, well, I think this guy or this girl has some talent, and we're gonna see more of that. Rakan, I guess. Just way too basic. I don't understand this jumpsuit. I mean, I think the fabric is wrong. The pleated detail on top, the sleeveless, it's a big nothing.
Looks like a terrible fabric.
It's just a really terrible fabric for that. Yeah. Sonia had an interesting top, but again, a very basic top that you've seen everywhere. And some interesting pants. Again, you've seen everywhere. It's pretty.
It's
but
a
basic.
Good design, yes. And it was well executed. I agree. But I also think very rarely on Project Runway are you going to see something wholly original.
Right, right.
They're not reinventing the wheel here.
Yes, but sometimes fashion is, you know, fashion keeps repeating itself all
right.
the time. And, you know, nothing about fashion is new, but it's just how you interpret it that makes it new and different. Frankie is adorable. Very happy to be on the show. I think she was overwhelmed and overexcited about it.
She's also gone through hardship herself.
Right. But she decided to do something that, if you're on Project Runway, you know it's a no-no, unless you have to. It's to design and create and make a bathing suit or a bodysuit.
Right.
That is a very complicated
Especially
piece.
Especially since the inspiration was a bathing suit.
Right.
Like, why would you do that?
So
I think she should have gone home.
It's just a very bad design. The neckline,
very badly executed.
Right, the neckline is abrupt and just goes down very. I don't know. It just doesn't look good.
And I'll chalk this up to the fact that she was probably under a lot of stress. But
right.
She came in and, you know, she's like, I design for plus size women. And I think most designers don't know how to do that. And
right.
It's outside their comfort zone. And then when she started getting critique, she basically criticized Hermione's her model's body right in front of her. And I was like, lady, I know you're upset, but don't do that. She was like complaining because she was taller and the distance between her shoulders and her crotch and blah, blah. And the model was standing there, and I think she looked kind of pissed. Like,
yeah.
Well, if you're a plus size designer, don't throw your plus size model under the bus for having a difficult body to fit.
It's just the way she said it. Wow, you're really tall. You know, it was just like.
No, she was complaining to the judges.
Oh, the part Yes. So.
Leela.
Again, another basic look that you see everywhere. Or you go to a store and it's hanging there.
Bad fabric choices. What's with all the shiny fabric?
And I get it. We just talked about it. You know, you overwhelm too many choices to pick from. Maybe they'll learn. Maybe they'll get better at mood. Kavanaugh, we already talked about her. No, we talked about her personality.
The design is basic. We understand she didn't have time to make the jacket. Whatever.
First, she complained that she only had $250. Have you watched the show?
Yeah.
And I think she bought a different fabric, and whatever she was doing didn't work, so she just decided to do anything to send, down the runway.
Right.
Again, another example of nothing of a design. You know, you staring at a belt. You're bottom, and you should have gone home. Renee, I do love, we're talking about the top three now. Renee, I do like this.
I really like it. I think the fabric choice is, again, bad. It's a flimsy, cheap-looking fabric. I'm sure it wasn't cheap, but she could have... I don't think any of them have figured out that your fabric should look rich on television.
Right.
And they... Well, they're not going to figure it out because they're not going to see these episodes until after they're done. But so far, many of them are making poor fabric choices.
Right. So this is an interesting design, an interesting look in general. I do like the overall look. She looks chic. I do like the skirt, like everything about it. The fabric wrapped around her shoulder, the sleeves with the black detail. Love it. I do like this. Vanny, I don't know. I guess they didn't have enough top to praise. But this to me, aside from the jacket, I think
the jacket's great, though.
Yes, that's what I mean.
I mean, the jacket's...
The jacket is interesting and has an interesting design, you know.
Right.
But the skirt is such a cliche with a feather detail on the side, and it cheapens the whole look.
And then the bandeau top.
Right.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, it brought the whole look to, like, down, like...
Yeah, he had one good design, and it was well-executed. Mm-hmm. One piece that was well-executed and well-designed. I don't think that was enough to put him in the top, but it's definitely enough to make me curious to see what he can do when he figures out his time management a little better.
And I think the jacket kind of saved him because that's all they talked about.
I'm sure. It wasn't the feathers.
Yeah. Tessa, a lot of people think this is a little too simple. I actually don't. I think this is minimalistic done right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's absolutely perfect. The neckline is gorgeous. The pants and with the dress and then you turn around and then it is this gorgeous back with the buttons. Is that buttons or details? I think
those are buttons, shell buttons.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. I love shell buttons. I love buttons in general.
Right. He does.
I do.
I can attest to this.
Oh my God! Even if I can find jeans with buttons, I'll buy jeans with buttons. I just love buttons. Anyway, so that to me was a great look. Nice choice of fabric, simple but beautiful, very, very elegant. And she won, and now they have the thing that are they going to? I think they're going to produce every piece.
They didn't say that, but I'm wondering.
Judging by going to the because we went to the site, where they produce where they're selling the look, and it says Project Runway Episode 1. So I do think they're going to maybe produce more pieces. We hope so. They did a good job.
They did?
Yeah, because they usually fall apart when they translate to a store or a site to sell them. This actually looks great. I do like the way they did the back, just like she did it. You know, it's not as sophisticated. Luxurious, I'd say.
It's not luxurious, but I do think it is a chic design.
But it is a chic design. You're right.
And she made smart choices knowing that it might get manufactured. So I understand her win. I don't disagree with it at all.
Right. So being brutally honest here, I'm very excited about all the changes, very excited about the show back on Bravo and all that, and just loving everything. a tiny bit disappointed with the creativity level. And I hope things get better.
Because, oh, sweetie, that's not brutally honest. Come now.
because that's what the show is about. So, okay, fine. I was disappointed with
No, I was too. Looks. I'm yeah. not suggesting that this is some wildly talented crop of designers. I'm going to hold out a little bit on the assumption that they were overwhelmed their first day and overwhelmed mm-hmm. by mood, and there were some questionable choices made. We'll see. And I have to say, the fashion show of their previous work, where they came out in the very beginning, there was nothing in that show that I was like, wow, right. can't wait to see what this one does. So we'll see. One of the things Project Runway could or maybe should do is take a page out of RuPaul's Drag Race book, which is to spend the time not just putting these designers through hell, but actually training them. I mean, the queens who show up on RuPaul's Drag Race, they get trained in things like acting challenges and singing right. challenges and all kinds of stuff.
They're forced to do these things.
And they come yes. out of it better queens. I mean, consistently, the queens who start on Drag Race and maybe come back for All Stars later are so much better because the show put them on their way.
Right.
So I am hoping that perhaps these sort of slightly rough and not the most interesting designers in the world, I'm hoping that they can do sort of the same thing. Pick out the ones that have potential and really train these designers to produce better work over right. the course of the season. Christian is a good
oh my God.
Mentor,
yes, yes.
but I do wish he would get further into his critiques. He gives very brief critiques, which I'm glad for. I don't feel like lingering on each one. And Christian is, I like Christian. I think he's very likable, but he's not the warmest person on camera. I mean, if you're going to compare him to Tim Gunn, he's nowhere near as warm as Tim Gunn. So I think they should use that to their advantage and just make it more about his technical critiques. Anyway, that's a lot of words.
Yes, 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 yes.
Including the 2000 written about the show this morning. So do you want to move on and yell at Silky Nutmeg Ganache on
yes,
RuPaul's
yes.
Drag Race?
Let's talk about Untucked now. And well, I've never liked him or her from day one. I thought it was, he's obnoxious. He's sucking up all the air
right.
and just trying very, very hard to be the focus of everything all the time.
I was okay with that until last night's Untucked. And then I came out and I said to you, because I'd watched it on my computer in my office, and I came out and I said to you, I'm sorry, that guy's an asshole. He's just an asshole. It's
right.
not, you're colorful and you're trying for camera time. That whole argument on Untucked, I was furious about it because it was so clearly a calculated move to make everything about him in that it wasn't about you. You weren't the winner.
Right,
your
right.
team won.
Right.
Everybody's in a great mood.
Right.
And you decided to pick a fight.
Know,
and not only pick a fight, but it turned into this major screaming match. And I actually was sitting there watching it going, how did they do this? Because there's no way they can scream that loud while the judges
right,
are deliberating. Right. You know what I mean? Like they're all on the same sound stage. So it actually made me question how and when they shoot these shows. But
it was out of control.
It was out of control. It was one thing to like cause, you know, have a little fight and get some camera time, but it just kept escalating and he kept getting louder and screaming and standing up and doing dance moves in the middle of this argument.
And that whole bullshit thing that, see, I was ready for
all he wanted was camera time.
Come on.
Just put the camera on
yes,
me
yes.
and I will read every bitch in this room if I have to get more camera time. I thought it was shitty. Nina won. Give her moment. She also shepherded the entire team into a win.
Right.
Like, what the hell? How did you wind up making this about you? And this whole nonsense, I mean, it was bullshit. This whole thing about, well, I believe in the Lord and I found it offensive, this whole idea about worshiping celebrities. This is the bitch who was carrying Miley Cyrus around on her back.
Right, right.
Screaming and yelling about Miley Cyrus. And as soon as Guillermo Diaz walked in last night, she bent over and asked him to fuck her. Like, you're not someone who doesn't worship celebrities, lady.
Right.
Come the
right.
hell on. You completely lose your shit whenever you're faced
no
with one.
Sense. It made no sense
it was
what
bullshit.
She was saying.
It was
yes,
complete
yes,
BS.
Yes, yes. And if that's going to be, you know, the thing every episode, every Untalk, then it's going to be...
Well, the queens have had it with her.
Yes.
And that's,
already.
That will be spilling out onto the runway and the judges.
Right.
They
right.
are going to
oh,
find out
point,
how
yes,
much the
yes.
queens hate her. And the first chance anybody gets to do it, they are going to throw her under the bus.
Which she's a fool, I think. Yeah, which is interesting because clearly the producers and everybody else, it feels like, I don't know, it seems they're all enjoying the whole thing too much.
Yes, but we're only on, what is the second or third episode?
Yeah.
I'm willing to wait, but I think this is all going to blow up in her face. I don't see her becoming a fan favorite. I don't see any of the queens supporting her when it comes time to,
right,
you know, which one of your team should go home. They're all going to turn on her.
Which is a shame, because if you go back in the beginning, when they had those videos on YouTube presenting every queen, they all love him. They all loved her.
The fans have already turned. Apparently, yeah, there was some sexual harassment charge against him.
What?
He was like being handsy in a club or something that. You know, there have been plenty of loud, obnoxious queens on this show that I wound up finding really funny or forgiving them if they acted like assholes every now and then. But I just was completely turned off by this behavior last night. I was like, I was rooting for her, like when we saw the first pictures of her and the name, Silky Nutmeg Ganache. I was like, oh, that's one to watch. But she's not some sassy big girl queen. She is a major attention whore, and she's kind of an asshole to the other queens.
Right.
Also, her drag is crap. Her church lady drag was pretty good. Not surprising, because she's pretty much a church lady. But everything she brings to the main stage, I think, is terrible. That thing she wore last night was just a ripaway smock with a bodysuit underneath it.
It was pretty much nothing.
And they were giving Raja shit for her bodysuit last night. And I'm like, all right, so at what point do we tell Silky that she needs to step up her game? We'll see. We'll see if the judges are going to even mention it. But I will say and we said it in the review this morning, I loved the 6-part lip sync. I didn't think it was a gimmick. I think it was perfectly called for.
It was a little
everybody on
confusing.
That team sucked, and nobody would say who was. So fine, you all have to do it.
I know. That was a good move.
It was a good move, and it made for a really, like, I was leaning forward on my couch trying to take it all in as it was going on.
And they did
the split screen thing to make it even more dramatic. And I actually really liked it. It was one of my favorite lip sync moments in a really long time.
Yeah, I mean, you have to shake things up a little every now and then.
Because I like when the show responds to the drama and says, fine, you're bringing drama, this is what we're doing in return.
Right.
Now you all have to lip sync.
True.
Yeah. So, you know, a little bit of reality TV stuff, a little bit of, you know, social, political privilege stuff. And I think we're out. I think that's it for the week.
Mm-hmm.
All right, kittens. Thank you once again for listening to our rambling cartoon voices. And we will be back next week with plenty of thoughts on whatever happens between now and then. So love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.